Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now.
You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odds boosts. Plus, you can make every game a big game with same-game parlays. And you know what I say, Brendan? Bet it all on the Bills. Whatever your paycheck was this week, put it all on the Bills.
Wise, wise advice. Well, to do that, you should download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
Taylor, the Jack Eichel news we have been waiting for has finally arrived.
That's right.
He switched agents. That's it. Big developments. Oh, yeah. No, not really too big of a development, at least. I mean, it's certainly noteworthy, but Eichel has moved on from his past representation, is now being represented by Pat Brisson, who is an agent for most of the league's stars. A lot of very high-profile clients for Pat Brisson. Elliot Friedman was the one who had initially broke this, and it came out to, under the most recent 31 Thoughts podcast, that it had come from a place of Eichel being frustrated with how the process has been handled so far. And Friedman kind of went on to say pretty much as far as, you know, kind of saying, questioning Eichel's decision in making this call in the first place and firing his agents, because the way that he had reported it was that a lot of the moves that have been made so far and the way that things have been handled have come directly from Eichel. And so maybe it sounded like he was using his agents as a scapegoat, but I also would not doubt that Elliot Friedman's sources are Eichel's old agents too at the same time. So that also makes me wonder if the way that we're getting this is being distorted a little bit, but certainly noteworthy. I mean, Taylor, you and I have talked about this a pretty good amount over the summer, really, just that there have been some really bizarre developments from just the statement that had come out to from Eichel's agents a couple months ago to this emoji BS that we had experienced last week. And so it does make you think, you know, if a lot of this direction has been coming from Eichel, but now he's, you know, represented by Brisson again, who is very highly regarded and is a very popular agent around the league. So what do you make of this? Do you think that it is maybe gonna, you know, speed this process up a little bit and we'll see a trade soon? Or do you think that this is more so Eichel just kind of looking for a scapegoat at this point for this not happening?
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, at this point, what would an agent have been pushing or doing that would make Jack mad? Like, it seems Jack very much wants a surgery that he's wanted for a few months now. It seems like he doesn't want to play here anymore either. and he wants a trade to go through and then to get the surgery, I guess. I'm not clear if anyone would, any team would allow him to do that. I don't think there's any, but any indication that that's the case. So it's weird. I think the last thing you said, there's a plausible explanation. I think sometimes people go like, oh, you know, I'm rich and I pay you a lot of money for something and I didn't get it, so you're out of here. I wonder what actual change will come from that, though. I mean, in some ways, I know I've already brought it up, the Harry Kane situation, that's kind of a parallel in England. But when it came down to it, they didn't have to sell him. And when it comes down to this right now in the NHL with Eichel, they don't have to trade him. I mean, it would behoove them more so than it would have behooved Tottenham to sell Kane. For sure. But they don't have to trade Eichel. And Adams, well, they don't have to trade Eichel this summer. At some point, they probably do have to trade Eichel. But Adams knows that if they lose this trade, it's going to be very hard for them to rebuild in any meaningful way in the next couple of years without a ton of lottery luck, which unfortunately they already used in what's considered a weak draft, or at least weak top of a draft. So it's an interesting situation. I mean, Eichel's no reason to want to, the team has no reason to let him get that surgery. He has no reason to want to be in shape and be ready for camp in time, or for the first half of the season in general, who knows. His agent really has no, I don't know. I think it's interesting now. You mentioned Brisson representing so many stars. That kind of agent also, it helps him, you know, as much as possible to help any of his clients, because that always looks good. But like, it's less so important for him than if he was a guy that had like 10 NHL clients and was struggling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's an interesting angle too. But yeah, I think we land at the end of this on, we still really don't know when Eichel's going to get moved. And how far away is camp now? Less than a month.
Yep. So sneaking up. And a couple of points too. I think for one, and I don't know if you were just saying this, but one thing that I do disagree on is that I don't think that the Sabres need to quote unquote win an Eichel trade. I think that they simply just need to not have a remake of the O'Reilly trade where you get practically no value in return. You know, what we've been hearing as far as what's been reported is that the Sabres were looking for, I believe it was 4 first round equivalent pieces. And so that's either picks, high-end prospects, or players who are NHL caliber, like in the league now, contributing kind of guys, like younger guys. Where I'm at least at this point, you know, the neck injury and whatever else you want to say goes into it has, whether we want to admit it or not, it has affected his value, obviously, like to a pretty substantial rate. For me, I don't know necessarily if, you know, the Sabres don't end up getting 4 really nice pieces back, that I would call that a disappointment. At this point, if they can get a first round pick in the next 2 drafts, not to say 2, just like if you get 1, that'd be great. If you get the next 2, that's fine. And a high end center, just that, like a high end center prospect, young guy. And that can go from a prospect to a young NHL player, anybody who is just drafted. So from like 18 to like 22, we'll say, in that general age range, who is a high end top tier center prospect. That's all I want. Those 2 pieces, just get it done at this point. I know, you know, I will totally hear the argument that, well, why not wait and see if you can get more once this gets a little bit more resolved and whatever, the smoke kind of clears a little bit and there's more clarity. I get that. But at this point, I just don't want the guy on the team. I don't want him here. I don't want there to be some kind of reconciliation that they're going to say happens or whatever, because in reality, I don't think that that's going to be the case. And I think that if they end up saying that they're going to bring him back, like, it's not going to make a difference because they're going to be in the exact same spot next year. Get a first round pick in either 22 or 23, and then get a top end center and just call it a day. Call it a day. Whether that is, you know, I don't know. We've gone through the names. We've gone through it. Whether it's Zegras in a piece, whether it's Peyton Krebs in a first, whether it's, you know, Marco Rossi or, you know, any of those kind of younger guys. I mean, LA, you know, we'll see if they're still in contention right now, but I'm talking like somebody like just really good, like a good young player and a pick, and then just be done with it. I don't think that there's any kind of a scenario that's going to arise where the Sabres and Eichel are going to come to some understanding or anything like that, because it is a stalemate. And the reason why I also think that it's going to continue to be a stalemate too. What also came out, I believe, on Friedman's podcast was the news that about a month or so ago, the league, the Players Association, the Sabres and Jack all met in Buffalo to hash this out. And the league sided with Jack and the Players Association, or the league sided with the Sabres, I should say, and the Players Association sided with Jack, which, again, to be expected, still is some real tangible news. But I just don't think that there's any situation that's going to arise where the Sabres and Eichel are going to find some kind of common ground, and this is going to get worked out, and you're going to be able to maximize his full value. You know, I think that there is a greater chance that Eichel gets this surgery and comes back to his usual self, his MVP caliber self, than him getting the surgery or not getting it and his career totally flames out. I'm not a doctor. I'm just basing that on being a Buffalo sports fan, that is the inevitable, that like this dude's going to get it figured out one way or another, and he's going to go somewhere else and his career is going to be fine. And I believe like majorly that's a big reason why I think that the Sabres should be able to get like high value for Eichel. But I'm at the point now that like, I think that us swinging for the fences is a pipe dream at this point. If you would have traded him 2 years ago after the MVP season, before all of this started with the neck and all the other injuries, then like, yeah, I would be all about Kevin Adams like being at this point and not trading him yet. But we're just getting to this point where it's the end of the road and it's a dead end. You got to do something here. And I just don't see a scenario, like I said, where some kind of common ground is going to be reached, or where there's going to be some sort of reconciliation that either, you know, circles back to him staying or them figuring this out and then they move him. I think it's just going to continue to be messy until he inevitably is traded at some point.
Yeah. So to go back to one thing from earlier, I mean, in terms of winning the Eichel trade, I don't necessarily, you if you're trading him, you already lost. So they don't have to win the trade, but like, I agree with what you said, like, they do need to get those two key pieces at least, because that's the foundation. You don't have a foundation right now. Even with your two first overall picks on the roster, you don't have one. And you have a couple first round picks from this year, so we'll see. And you have the ability to get more first round picks and some better, deeper drafts coming up. But yeah, that's what's important. But yeah, a lot of it is just, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It hasn't happened yet. We talked when it first basically seemed like he was going to get traded. That was 3.5 months ago. That was more than 100 days ago. We've literally done dozens of podcasts since then. And not much has changed in the way of anything, really. I mean, there's been some interesting storylines in and out, but at the end of the day, it's like he still has this neck injury, still wants this surgery. They still don't want to do it. Like, yeah, it's
and how much more is this going to evolve? Like, what else can happen? I mean, him firing his agents is one thing. You probably could have maybe guessed that, I guess. But like, aside from that, I mean, how else can this situation change other than the Sabres agreeing to let him get the surgery? That's the only other thing that can happen aside from a trade at this point. Right. Yeah. I mean, how else can this continue to develop? Like, this isn't even like a develop. Like, it's just, it is what it is right now. And that's why I feel like it's just going to be this never ending stalemate.
Yep. It's
bleak.
Yeah. Not fun. Also, there was a brief rumor that people even barely, that's how far along we are on this. People barely cared. There was a rumor that it wasn't even a rumor. There's a report that Eichel was flying to Montreal with all his hockey equipment. And it was like, whoa. And then that was shot down as being important within like 5 seconds.
Some kind of like showcase thing.
Yeah.
The BioSteel Sports showcase.
And so,
he's not playing in the games. He's doing like off ice stuff.
Yeah. It's also been about 6 months since he's played hockey. And that he's played like what now? He's played roughly 20 games in the past 18 months.
Yeah.
Roughly, I mean, it will be more than 18 months. I mean, he might play 20 games over the course of 2 years. the way things are headed here, not good. Yep. Not good, folks. Not
super
good.
Not good. Super, super, super not good. Do we want to talk about something cool and fun that happened in the NHL this week?
I don't recognize any such thing.
I know. It happened. Isn't that crazy that something like this happened? There's an offer sheet.
Yeah. You know what? Leave it to the Hurricanes to do an offer sheet and make it just impossibly lame and boring and make it impossible to enjoy. We wanted offer sheets for how long now? And we're going to get one, you know, that seemingly isn't going to be matched. And it's like, great. The epic meme kings of 2010 are here, 2007 even, to ruin our fun.
Well, okay.
Cool signing bonus.
Because it's Carolina, it sucks. And I get it with some of the specs around it, why people are annoyed or whatever. But like, I think all in all, it's for the league, at least, a good thing that it's happening. I mean, I have a hard time thinking that the Canadians are going to match a $6 million offer sheet for 1 year for Kotkaniemi. I butchered that. And I know the signing bonus, what is it, like a $20 signing bonus or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is going to make GMs have to rethink the way that offer sheets are approached now. Maybe this leads to more of them happening. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's something at least. I think you and I are both in agreement that offer sheets should be way more prevalent and be used. You know, I hate how there's that whole weird like mentality, I guess, that GMs have towards them where it's like, oh no, we can't do that because we don't want any of the other GMs to get mad at us. And it's like, first of all, you are a grown adult, and like, this is a part of this is something that you are supposed to be using to help better your team. And it gives you a competitive advantage if you're able to actually do it, you know, if you have the appropriate compensation for it. So I hate that it's Carolina. I know that some of the details are stupid, but again, I think if it's something that could maybe wake GMs up to this a little bit and you start to see it become a little bit more prevalent, it's not the worst thing, I guess.
Yeah. So the thing is, last year, like, it's revenge for the Aho offer sheet, and people who I think didn't know the details at the time were like, what is the point of signing Aho to this offer sheet like Montreal did, where Carolina was just clearly going to match it? And the upside was kind of just weirdly screwing around with the signing bonus. So it was like a $20 million signing bonus involved. So I think the cap hits, whatever, the cap hits the average. The annual payout per year isn't bad. And the AAV wasn't bad either. Like, they were obviously going to match it, but they had to pay like $21 million for the first year of Aho's contract, which is absurd. And I think that's the way Montreal's trying to get it. Let's say Athletic beat writers from that cover the Hurricanes didn't understand it at all and thought it was so dumb, but there was some way of Montreal being like, well, maybe they can't afford to match that, or maybe not afford, but like more like maybe Dundon doesn't want to pay that much money for this, you know, notorious cheapskate grifter. Like maybe they wouldn't do that, because maybe they won't pay $20 million for one player up front. And they were wrong. They will. And as revenge, I guess they're kind of doing this, but this is a little bit harder to justify. And it kind of gets to the why offer sheets aren't more prevalent, which is the picks you have to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I'd love to see more offer sheets, but like the compensation for them is so onerous. It's like, it almost seems like, why would you do that? Now I'm looking at this one though. Like, why is there really that much upside for Montreal matching it or not matching it? I mean,
not really. What does the compensation fall under then, with it being 6.1 million?
I'm looking right now. Let's see. Hold on. I'm looking right now, but I'll say this. Montreal should be bad next year. They've lost Weber probably for the entire season injury, at least this season. They've lost Deneau.
They'll get a first and a third next year if the Canadians don't match.
Okay. So would you rather have the Hurricanes first and third, or a recent third overall pick? I guess when it comes down to it, you've watched him for a couple of years. So do you not have faith in him? Like, he doesn't deserve $6 million this year, but like, if you're being honest with yourself, you're not competing this year. I know you were just in the Stanley Cup, but you're probably not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean,
so is it really like, oh my God, we have to have our cap situation be better. Like it's 1 year, which will be a weird thing. But then the Hurricanes are kind of putting themselves in a weird spot. Because I think even with this, they'll be worse than they were last year and the year before that because they don't have Hamilton anymore. But it's like, okay, so you get this guy. If he's not good, you just paid $6 million and gave up a first and a third for him. And if he is good, then whatever. If he ends up being really good, you got to steal. You got a guy for not that much. But if he's just pretty good, well, you're gonna pay him $6 million again next year? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really good question. I think at the end of the day, you know, there's one big winner. And that's the player in this situation because
he's
not going to get $6 million from Montreal or pretty much from anywhere else. If he was a U.S. or if he, you know, if RFA rights didn't exist, he would not get paid that much. But as you said, we're talking about a guy who's a recent third overall pick and putting him in Carolina. I mean, maybe that's a situation where he thrives in, you know, Montreal does not have the forward depth that and firepower, I would even say too, for that matter, that that Carolina has. So if this guy's slotting in to be your third line center, that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, yeah, it's $6 million you have tied up there, but I think as a two or a three, when you can insulate him with some, not insulate him, but when you can surround him with some nice wingers, that's not a bad setup for him at all. I mean, I would say, yeah, Montreal, I'm definitely in agreement there that they're not going to be good. So they're kind of in like a weird spot with this too. But I mean, well, what about, let me ask you this before I even go on. If you're Montreal, do you match this, Taylor?
You know, you take
the first and the third, because the other side of it though, is like, he is going to make a positive impact for the Hurricanes. So if they continue on the trajectory, obviously losing Dougie Hamilton is tough. Their goaltending situation is different this year as all three of their goalies from last year are out and they have two new guys in with Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta. I mean, they still are going to be a good team. They're still going to be a playoff team next year. And if we're talking about a first, you know, next year's draft is going to be deeper, but it's going to be in the 20s. So do you think...
For sure.
I would think. Yeah. I
don't agree.
You don't think Carolina, you really think Carolina is going to fall off hard?
No. I just think there's no guarantee it's in the 20s. I mean, they would have been in the lower end of the 20s. Not two seasons ago, I guess you'd say now. Last year, they were better. I think they won that division they were in. But like, that's when they were getting good goaltending and they lost their goaltender. So it's like, what kind of goaltender are they going to get? And they lost Hamilton and added Kotkaniemi. I think that's a net loss. And they're going to be playing in a pretty tough division, I think, still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I just think that they have a lot of talent on the team. You know, I mean, I know, again, losing Hamilton is tough, but they're not bad. You have top-end talent with Aho and Svechnikov. They have Teravainen. Vincent Trocheck was really good for them last year. Jordan Staal, I mean, I know he's getting up there, but he played at a ridiculous pace last season, which I'm sure he's not going to be able to maintain. But, you know, looking at the rest of their roster, I mean, you have Jacob Slavin, who is easily a top five two-way defenseman in the league. Or I can even say defensive defenseman, maybe, rather than, you know, because he's not as offensively inclined. But, you know, you got Martin Nikas, who is a good up-and-coming forward for them, too. I mean, they're not going to be bad. Like, they're definitely not. So a lot of it is going to come down to their goaltending situation. And if Raanta can stay healthy and what kind of Freddie Anderson you're going to get too. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I think that they'll still be good. I think that they're going to definitely be a playoff team. Not like a wild card playoff team. Like, they're going to finish in the top three in their division, I bet. With the division realignment going back.
Yeah, they probably will, but I don't know. I the goaltending it's what held them back from being better than they should have been like most years. Raanta, so he's 32. He played half the games in a season. He played more than 33 games in the season once. He played 47 games and was really good in 2018. Other than that, he's played in his career 25, 14, 25, 30, 12, 33, and 12. So that's a, I would call, not as big of a risk as, like, say, Carter Hutton, but, like, it's a risk. The way, let's say, like, someone like Brian Elliott, who is much better playing 30 or fewer games than he was playing 41 or more. But I mean, it's like a 919 career save percentage. So if he's splitting time with Anderson and Anderson's decent again, that's something. But I mean, that's a gigantic question mark.
Well, it is. But I mean, let's look at the rest of the division here, because you have Columbus. I think that they're definitely going to fall off again. Like they're not going to be that good. New Jersey, they are a huge question mark. They are betting on themselves. I mean, Hamilton obviously is the big high profile addition there, but you're looking at a tandem of Mackenzie Blackwood and Jonathan Bernier in net, which that's unpredictable. And it's looking at the rest of their roster too, if they're filled out enough. The Islanders, you're expecting them to be there. They, I think, are probably the odds on favorite to win the division this year. In the Metro, I mean, the Rangers, question marks. Philly, huge question marks, especially after last year with not knowing what Carter Hart is going to be this year. And also, they just got Rasmus Ristolainen, so we'll see how that goes. Pittsburgh, probably expecting a bit of a drop-off there. Washington is another year older.
Are you? I'm not.
You don't think?
No, their goaltending was horrific last year, particularly in the playoffs.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah. They got, like, what's his name? Jari?
So how are we in disagreement then? I said that they're probably going to have a drop-off.
Well, I mean, if their goaltending's that bad again,
then they will probably have a drop-off, right?
In that case, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They've also had a bunch of injuries. I mean, in their older, maybe they expect injuries. I don't know. I mean, we've expected a drop-off for Pittsburgh and Washington for at least a couple of years.
That's fair. And I mean, I think it's going to happen for I was going to say if it happened for Pittsburgh before it really does for Washington. But again, like, we don't know. I guess the moral of the story is Pittsburgh and Washington are both getting up there. But when I say drop off, I'm not saying that they would be like completely out of playoff contention, like bottom feeder. That's not what I mean. But I'm saying in terms of competing for the top of the division, which is kind of where I would say the Islanders are the only team that I confidently would look at the division and say that they would finish ahead of the Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Islanders were fourth last year in the division. And they weren't all that good. They actually haven't really been that good in the regular season any of the years.
I know, but it's weird. But they are a strange team. But of the other options, though, I mean, can you confidently say Washington, Pittsburgh, Philly, Rangers, Jersey, or Columbus, like that they would finish ahead of Carolina?
Yeah, this is a weird. So Columbus, I think, is going to suck, and I think New Jersey it won't be very good, at the very least. So it's very strange besides that. I mean, I actually think the Rangers are going to kind of suck too, based on this new direction they're taking, despite them having a decent amount of talent, unless like Lafreniere and Kako are significantly different than they were last year. But yeah, then like Philly, you know, they make the playoffs every other year for a long time now. So I kind of expect that to keep up. That's not really logical, but like they've done it for like a decade now. So why not? And plus Carter Hart can't be that bad.
Definitely not again.
So, and oh man, who did they add right before? They made a good addition in addition to Ristolainen, didn't they? Did they get Ryan Ellis?
They did.
Okay, so that's good. They should be a playoff team. But I'm just saying, like, with the Hurricanes goaltending and losing Hamilton, you know, I kind of think they're as much of a question mark as anyone there now.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I'm just saying I think that division is potentially open for them. And I think that if you're adding Coach Niemi like into the mix for them, you know, he's gonna obviously have to take a step, but that helps them.
He had 5 goals last year.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying I think it helps him. Like, he's, you know, he was a 3rd overall pick.
Yeah,
not facing his talent off of his draft position, but like I don't know, I think that he'll end up, if it doesn't get matched and he ends up going there, that he'll contribute for them decently.
So you asked me earlier what I would do if I was Montreal, and that's the tough thing, is it's like I'm not really Montreal, and that's the big thing I'm wondering here. The trade I always bring up is the Will Myers trade that the Royals made and got panned like 8 years ago now or 9 years ago. So Jesus, wow. Been a long time.
That's crazy that it's been that long.
It's like you're giving up on this prospect when you have like, he's like 21, you have like 6 or 7 years of team control, and he's going to be cheap to get James Shields, who is under contract for 2 years, and Wade Davis, who's a reliever and under contract for 3. And everyone laughed at it. And now Will Myers is just like kind of an okay guy. Like he's not, he was rookie of the year, but like he's not an MVP level guy or really a consistent all-star. So it's like, they knew him better than everyone else did. And now Montreal is 3 years of looking at him. And if they look at it, they shouldn't. Here's what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't balk at the $6 million. That wouldn't be what I'd be worried about. I mean, you're Montreal. You're one of the biggest fan bases in the hockey world. So I'm not too worried about the money, and I'm not too worried about the cap this year.
Yeah.
So what I'd be worried about is potentially losing out on 2 picks in a pretty deep draft. If you're not confident in this guy, and maybe you look at this and go, he had 20 points in his draft plus 3 season and 5 goals in 56 games. And just say like that, that wasn't good enough. We're going to try again. Cause maybe, who knows, maybe Montreal does a rebuild. I can't even call that a last hurrah. Cause they haven't been good in like 6 years. So that was just a very random season amid a disappointing era.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they had fun.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about people have, I know you had kind of mentioned it before, but Montreal is a potential destination for Jack Eichel.
Why would they do that?
I'm saying from the Sabres perspective, though.
Picks.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. I don't think it happened. And I think there is truth to the whole wanting him out west thing, or just away from here, at least. But I would definitely listen if it's Montreal, because I don't think that they're going to be nearly as good, obviously, but I don't know how good they'll be just in general.
Where did Deneau sign again?
LA.
Oh, that's right. Right. I mean, that's fine. I guess they'll probably be decent. I mean, they could make the playoffs
in that division. Division's rough.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing here is that the East is pretty deep with teams that are like good, but have potential flaws aside from Tampa. And the West is not.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. I mean, I haven't really thought about the Atlantic much yet because it hasn't been a division in 2 years, but Boston should be pretty good still, right? Maybe not as good as these past couple of years. And well, they got Hall. Who knows how he is. Toronto probably be a playoff team at least.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida will be a playoff team. Wow. We're going to finish last in that division, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I mean, man, no reason Tampa shouldn't just, they won't be as deep, but they should probably be cup favorites again, shouldn't they?
I would think. I mean, it's going to be them, Vegas, and Colorado as the favorites for sure.
Yeah. Actually, now that you say that, it'll probably be Vegas or Colorado just because you're coming out of an easier conference. For sure. Even one of these teams in the East won't have the flaws we're worried about, and then maybe the Flyers could make the, I mean, the friggin' Canadians made the cup and the Stars made the cup 2 years ago, so who knows?
Could always be someone random. It's very true. Yeah,
the only rule is they can't win.
Yeah, true. It's fine by me. I think that this is going to be the year that Colorado or Vegas gets over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado has a big hump to get over. Like, they haven't been to the conference finals still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, time will tell, my friend. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share before we sign off for the day?
Not really. It's still really hot out. Do a random Saber.
Sure.
You know what? I'm gonna shout out someone who's not that random. Thomas Vanek. There's a great article in The Athletic about Marco Rossi, his time coming back from COVID and all of he went through in the last year with myocarditis and all that. And Thomas Vanek took care of him when he was in the US or really? Canada. Not
Thomas Vanek went back to medical school and
yeah. Dr. Vanek.
Dr. V.
Yeah. See, Dr. Locks, right? Right. Friday Beers character. Get it? Cause
oh yeah.
Real heads know.
How do we get Friday Beers as a sponsor of Straight Up Sabres? That's what we really need. We'll know we made it then.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, but anyway, shout out to Vanek. Really took care of Rossi, got him to like doctor's appointments and stuff. You know, was a good friend to him as a fellow Austrian.
Love that. Love that. Well, my random Sabres player then, in light of Thomas Vanek being yours, will be Matt Molson. From 26 to 26.
That's right.
And from really good to really not so good.
It can happen overnight.
It really can. It really can. Hey,
having Jack Eichel in his house just sapped him of all his strength.
Matt Molson?
Yeah.
It could have. I mean, there's a good chance. We don't know this for sure, but maybe we'll get a tell-all from Matt Molson someday.
Wow. I wouldn't read it, honestly.
I would not either. Well, hey, I was going to ask, too, after we closed off, but I'll just ask you while we're recording right now and include this in the episode. You want to go see Shang-Chi? That's coming out this week.
It's coming out this week?
Yeah, man.
Oh, Labor Day opening.
Thursday night. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Maybe. Yeah. I'll let you know.
I'll text you.
All right.
Everybody, if you want to come see Shang-Chi with Taylor and I, Friday night, Regal Elmwood, be there.
Who's going to come out and see Last Night in Soho with me? You could be that lucky listener. Brendan probably will not come.
Maybe I will.
All right. Well,
okay.
Been real.
It's been
real. See you Thursday, everyone.
Can't wait to see everybody Thursday. Everybody, once again, this show is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. And as you heard at the top of the episode, make sure you're checking out our sponsor, DraftKings. DraftKings is where it's at for all of your daily fantasy sports betting. And make sure at checkout you're using our promo code THPN to take advantage of great deals. We will be back, as Taylor said, with a new episode on Thursday. Make sure you're also checking us out on social media in the meantime at Straight Up Sabres. And we, again, are going to keep teasing it until we could formally make the announcement. But we have some really cool news coming up soon ahead of season 3. So make sure you are sticking around for that. We will talk to you all on Thursday, everybody. This has been Straight Up Sabres.